Bill, so I'm excited for this convo for two reasons. One is like a large part of our community here at Plainfield is athletes, and I'm pretty sure they all like to drink. So obviously, talking to CEO of Athletic Brew, there's nobody no better fit for a conversation today. And it's Friday, so we should have a beer. I know you're drinking one right now.
Yeah, I happen to have one open on my desk right now anyway. That, I've been on the West Coast. I've been working for 5 hours already on
That's
Friday
awesome.
morning, but so psyched to be on with you. It's obviously such a busy week in your world with the huge news out of Tom. But really honored to be on right after Matt Slater as well. Like, as a lifelong Patriots fan, like, he is an under the radar New England legend. Like, just a lunch pail guy who was all-star caliber for, 15 years probably as a Patriot special teamer, and I have such admiration for him. And that was such a cool podcast to listen to.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, of all the people I've met and teammates of Tom's over the years, he truly is a genuinely like amazing human, and it's so nice to see, and it's so great to see them, somebody like that have such great success. So
Yeah,
we'll see
I'm
what's next,
excited.
but
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you and Tom do next. We're at this such an interesting moment in kind of business and sports where you have this wave of superstar athletes reaching retirement who are so business savvy for really the first time in history. And there's going to be a whole nother wave of people right behind them. But you have Tom, JJ, Roger Federer, and like a number of others across sports. It's going to be a really cool time in sports and business. And excited to see where that goes. I have theories about, I think people are going to go big into college too. Like, as college gets deregulated, I don't know. My mind spins on it. So I was excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm as excited as you are. And I think, like, it, only because I was just thinking about this recently, was like, I think it like almost really boils down to these guys now, and whoever you can own an audience, right? You become this, like, and if you can own an audience, which ultimately now through social media, it helps, is a great key to doing that. That there's really like not much you can't do, and I feel like if you stay authentic and you stay true to your audience, like, they're going to follow you and trust you, and whether it depend, whether you're selling a foam roller or, an NFT, like, I think ultimately, they're buying into the person, they're buying into the system, and all that. So I'm super excited as well. So, but,
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where to start here with talking to you, but like, I just wanted to get nitty gritty, right? I'll like burning question to start. Like, how do you name your beers?
Oh wow. So everything the non-alcoholic category was before Athletic Brewing was penalty box, stigma. There was like a scarlet letter if you were holding one of those old products in your hand at a bar. Everything about Athletic Brewing has been to elevate it and make non-alcoholic beer aspirational, positive, a healthy choice that you're proud of, and something you can do anytime, anywhere. So the name Athletic is something that's a super easy bar call. It's universal. It's not like tied to a certain region. But then our beers are meant to be aspirational too. Run Wild, Upside Dawn is like a play on like being ready to go the next morning, turning your perceptions of drinking upside down. And really just having fun with it. We've had some names that have hit the cutting room floor for sure. That
Can you t tell us one, or you don't
oh,
want
so many close calls on just
to?
like bad names. And
Regret, regret.
naming the company was probably one of the toughest things we've done. That was probably a 2 year journey in itself right there.
Yeah, it is, there's a simplicity to it, but there's also like you kind of you get it helps people understand exactly what they're getting into, without saying, just naming out non-alcoholic beer. All right, I can identify with that in the product. And so, to stay on the name thing, one more question: do you have a favorite?
Yeah, Run Wild is still, even though we released 75 beers last year on our e-commerce site, like every kind of IPA, dark beer, sour beer, everything. Run Wild's still 70% of the beer I drink. Like, John and I designed it as the beer we wanted to drink every day and pair with every food, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, you answered my second and third question, which was your favorite beer, and then, well, I'm guessing you would say Run Wild for if one person wanted to jump in and try a beer, like, would Run Wild be their first starter one?
So it depends what kind of beer you like. If you like IPAs, I'd recommend starting with Run Wild. If you're a, call it a Guinness drinker, I'd recommend starting with our All Out Stout. If you're any sort of light beer, so call it Michelob Ultra, Bud Light, Coors Light, anything, our Athletic Light is super crushable. It's 25 calories. And so it's like if you're any sort of light beer or lager drinker, Athletic Light or Upside Down are great options.
Awesome. Well, let's take a step back here. And so you're just your average beer guy story, right? Like Wall Street to the brewery. I say that jokingly, but tell us a little about yourself and your journey right before starting AB.
I mean, I had no aspirations to be an entrepreneur. I had never thought about non-alcoholic beer 15 years ago in any positive context ever, and would have never imagined being in the food business. But I worked at one of the world's biggest hedge funds, like a total intellectual meritocracy that was always on 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. and you had to be razor sharp. But I loved to wake up at 5 a.m. every day and work out. I was going to three or four work dinners a week, then stuff with friends, family, everything. And 5 or 6 nights a week were kind of like casual drinking nights. And so not the traditional view of like, non-alcoholic beers for alcoholics or medical conditions, but I was just someone who wanted to be in all those great social moments when you have a beer in your hand. But I just didn't want the alcohol. I wanted to wake up feeling great the next day, firing on all cylinders. And, beer is something humans have been drinking for 5,000 years, and it's such a big part of our fabric. It just hadn't adapted to the modern life. And I saw a huge opportunity on the economic side to do that, which that got me going on the business planning. But when I actually quit my job was I saw the impact it had on my life, and I saw the opportunity that positively impact tens of millions of lives in the same way, where alcoholism had always been treated one-on-one. There are 15 million documented alcoholics in the country, and alcohol is the number three killer in the country and contributes to number two and one. So while we're not necessarily like trying to bring back prohibition or anything, like alcohol is a great place in society still. I did see a chance to have a positive impact on tens of millions of people. And that's when I had that realization. I couldn't sleep for like a week and I quit my job on the first of the year. So.
That is, and so I love that. I think that's everybody's like, what's next dream is like having that moment where you're like, oh shit, okay, like I gotta do this. And it's awesome that you, because a lot of people have fear and let fear kind of get in the way of pursuing that. So you have your co-founder, John, like tell us about that like moment where you guys came together and really created the company.
So I went from, being at one of the world's biggest hedge funds, had 300 salespeople covering me. Every phone would ring on the first ring or pick up on the first ring, to absolutely zero in the beer and beverage industry wanted to talk to me after that. Like, no one wanted to talk about non-alcoholic beer. It was totally dead. And I probably got rejected by somewhere 200 to 500 brewers that I talked to in the beginning. Every contract brewer in the country rejected the idea. People in the industry wouldn't work with us. And then John was at this super small brew pub in New Mexico that was just racking up awards, like the biggest of the big awards. They didn't even have a canning line plugged in. And John responded to an internet ad that at this point didn't have non-alcoholic beer in the message anywhere at all anymore. And he just got it for the, like, from the second he heard it, he saw the innovation challenge, he saw the societal impact, and just saw the potential growth opportunity. And so he packed up his family from New Mexico. He had a 1 and a 5-year-old and a very stable job down there. And he moved across the country to home brew non-alcoholic beer in an empty warehouse with me. And then since then, like, we've really built everything like that, just brick by brick. We made it, John made a totally differentiated product on quality. So, like, what non-alcoholic beer had never been before. This beer was non-alcoholic beer that immediately started winning awards versus full strength alcoholic beer. So, like, you no longer had to sacrifice on the quality. It's like half the calories of even the lightest beers out there. And so there's a great quality, a great health proposition. And we started out in Connecticut and Massachusetts, and in our backyard, like, started putting the beer on like Whole Food shelves and stuff, and it flew. And so John and I had built, so all our we did 120 investor meetings at this like in this period also, and we're like, we're building a non-alcoholic beer brewery, and it was basically just like, hang
Like,
on, like that like, can you send us some data on the category? And it, like, it couldn't be a less exciting data picture. And but we found our group who believed in it. We built what we thought was a huge brewery, and we outgrew it in 10 months. Like, our distributor trucks were not even getting the beer to the shelf because it was getting cleaned out that first summer. And it ironically went from something no one wanted to talk about to this like huge shortage, and we're getting complaints. And since then, we've built two more big breweries on each coast, the two biggest non-alcoholic breweries in the world.
it's just wild, the quick growth. It sounds like it almost the way you describe it just sounds like, oh yeah, like it just came together, and I'm sure there was a a lot of grind there. So like, where you are today, like just give us kind of an overview of just like ultimately where people can get it, where it is today, and then like, yeah, start with that.
Yeah. So the nice thing is, like, we just got out to a 50-state footprint, and we're in most major grocery stores now. So we still have a lot of distribution to layer in, but most major grocers, if you pop your head in, or Walmart or Target, will probably be on the shelf. And then, yeah, it's the market's been really exciting. Non-alcoholic beer was about 0.3% of all beer sales when we started out. Most places internationally, it's 5 to 15% of the beer market. It has very quickly gone to up to 8% of some of the biggest grocery stores. And Athletic and Heineken Zero have really led that reimagination of what the category is.
That's crazy. I don't know if it's proprietary, but like, can you talk about like how you remove the alcohol or how the process is different?
Yeah, so that was like a big first principles thing for us. I was reading all these brewing textbooks at nights and weekends while I was at my old job, and I just kept bumping into the same barriers. I was like, you know, if you boil off the alcohol or go through aggressive filtration, all these amazing qualities, like a great beer is very much like a very nice wine in many ways, where there's all these nuances and esters and aromas of fermentation. And we didn't want to lose any of that. So we took it back to the first principles, like took a lot of the traditional methods off the table, and came up with our own process where it's not like nuking it at the end of the line in some machine. It's really casual adjustments during the whole process of time, temperature, pH, and things like that. And that way we get to a fully fermented, nuanced product that comes out under 0.5%.
Wow. And so let's say the athlete, right, like game on Sunday, gets home and just like wants to relax, and they're used to having a bottle of wine or, having a few beers. Like, what's your elevator pitch to someone like that like to like give it a try?
Yeah. So this was really born out of my own life. You know, I very casual recreational athlete, but I do run ultra marathons and will do any workout I have time for.
Just casual, I run ultra marathons,
if anything that I can get away from my phone for 6 hours, I would sign me up. But the nice thing is, a lot of that occasion usage and like audience finding has actually come to us organically. So, you know, we have had people like JJ Watt, Lance Armstrong, Ben Hoffman, the lead Iron Man, Brian Mazza, there's like a god of fitness, Matt Frazier, the CrossFit athlete. So, you know, all these people, I would say, even outside of athletics, like if you think of even expanding to like intellectual athletics, so people who just have high performing day jobs, most people at the pinnacle of their careers are not drinking with a huge frequency, especially during training blocks and stuff. And so this started to show up really naturally in people's lives. I think Matt Frazier is probably the best example of this, or Ben Hoffman, the Ironman athlete. And they were drinking our products in their training, in their relaxing time, and inadvertently kept posting about it on social media. And they reached out to us, and they were like, Guys, I know I'm doing this upside down, but like I've accidentally posted about your product three or four times. Can we back into a sponsorship agreement of some sort? And so we like really organically had this high performing audience find us, and it just naturally clicked for them.
But like, there has to be, because I'm sure for a lot of people, they like the buzz, right? Like they like the effect actual alcohol has, at least in the short term until the hangover comes. Like how do you say, how do you answer that to, when that's missing?
So we don't want to take away alcohol. If people are looking for stress relief in that way, like, it is what it is, and people will always drink alcohol, and that's great. You do you. Like, we don't need to win over every occasion of every day to for this to be a huge category. The beer market in the US alone is $100 billion. In Europe, it's $250 billion. And so if we catch 10, 20% of drinking occasions over a 10-year period, these are going to be absolutely enormous categories. But that being said, 60% of adults have 0.1 drinks or less per week. So, like, over a majority of the population is essentially not drinking at all with any frequency. They may drink once a month. We want to give them a great beer they can have that's light in calories, it's a great meal pairing any day of the week. But also, that like what you described there, like having that buzz, being social. When I stopped drinking, I still loved going to sports bars, casinos, weddings, bachelor parties. I think I went to New Orleans on like four bachelor parties after I stopped drinking in like quick succession. And I was like, this isn't bad at all without the alcohol. I just wish I had a drink in my hand that I was proud of. And so it to me, then the next realization was so many of my favorite beers were like, when I'm meeting my brother at a bar on a Friday afternoon, it's when you first walk in that first drink, or when what's happening around you is what drives the moment. It's not necessarily like I need to be drunk to enjoy the Patriots winning the AFC Championship game. It's like, it's actually probably more fun if I'm not and I remember it perfectly. Or we were in person for the Malcolm Butler interception, and like I was dead sober, and it's probably the best sports moment of my life. But
You
like,
and me both.
oh my goodness, I have such a bigger story to that, which I'm sure doesn't even pale in comparison to yours. But my realization was that, like, the alcohol that hits you 2 or 3 hours down the line, it really has nothing to do with these moments for the most part. It's what's in your hand, feeling comfortable, confident. And I realized like none of my friends or family cared if I was drinking or not. They just wanted me to be happy and be excited to be there. And so that's kind of the problem we're looking to solve. And I actually, the case I hear the most of from people is that they tend to have one alcoholic drink when they show up at places and then two or three athletics after that, like where they might have only had one drink at a bar and really nursed it. They now have four drinks and are like having more fun because they can hang out before they either have to go drive home or do more work later or like whatever. So,
Got it. Do you want to tell the Malcolm Butler story? I don't want to like cut you. I mean, it's a good story. We love a good Malcolm Butler story.
I think it's more an offline story. I will
All right.
say it's so in the depths of that early season after they lost to the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, all my friends, a couple family members were just super in the dumps. And I was like, hey, we're gonna get both of our starting corners back next week. The defense is gonna be a beast. I was like, it's the second or third game of the season. Let's make a big Super Bowl bet. And in February, we're all gonna be in Arizona enjoying this. But all of us paid for the trip and didn't hedge the bet at all. So like we had to win the bet to pay for this pretty extravagant trip for like six of us. And but it was honestly more the Patriots moment and like Tom, the Edelman catch, all that. And so I was at the a friend invited me to the Ravens game 2 weeks before up at Foxborough too, where Edelman had the long touchdown and we're playing the games with like the unique formations with the offensive line. Just an unbelievable run.
One of my favorite sports moments in my life. I was there next to my brother and just crying. It was so, that was unbelievable. Just awesome. But
Yeah, my brother jumped into my arms and like wrapped his head. Like my brother's taller than I am and like was just like totally in my arms wrapped around me. It was awesome.
I had a friend sitting about 10 rows behind us who stood up and took photos of my brother and I, and it just had this unbelievable photo with the confetti coming, both of us crying. So it's great. But talking about the future of Athletic Brew, and I see you guys are doing sparkling water. What is, that you're allowed to share, but what is like the
Yeah.
future look like for you guys?
So the way we kind of like to frame it is, this is beer for the modern adult. It's, the modern busy lifestyle. We're just reimagining what drinking is without the alcohol. And we think these are going to be enormous categories. And so, we're committed to being the leader of non-alcoholic beer, and we're just getting going in many ways there. And we think that category is going to be growing double digits for decades to come. And so we're really excited about that, but we do have some exciting products we're tacking on to it as well. We have these huge breweries and innovation centers and a super talented team. So people should definitely expect to see athletics start to show up in different day parts of their life, whether it's things that look more like water or functional and stuff. So we're super excited about what we're going to tack on and trial with people. The great thing is we have an e-commerce platform because we're all non-alcoholic that we can try ideas as small as 30 cases online. So
It's interesting. You guys have really focused, not on physical, not just physical health, but mental health. And I heard you meditate, maybe daily, if that's
yeah,
true.
I mean it's a long game. I mean no one knows that better than you guys. It's like to you've got to take care of yourself to perform at a high level for a long period of time, and I think you and Tom kind of invented that in some ways. But yeah, every day after I wake up, I don't turn the phone on until I'm through a certain subset of things. That's it's like feeding my dogs, it's meditating, it's light stretching and exercise, like identifying what my like top three objectives for that day are. And then it's probably like an hour after I wake up, I like, all right, here comes the internet. So,
Wow, good for you.
and similar at night. So, like every day, I get some sort of sweat in, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours. And then at the end of the day, I try to do some sort of gratitude before I go to bed, where it's reflecting on the day. Often, like the one thing that went the worst in a day is what you think about the most, and it like nags you all day, and you might forget three big wins you had that morning, and so I try to zoom out a little bit before I fall asleep at night.
It's all about. I love that, and I know AB donates some proceeds to proceeds of two for the
Yeah.
trails to help local trails. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have two big programs. Our environmental program is probably one of the biggest in the country. It's 2% of all sales goes to, we call it Two for the Trails, which we founded. But this year it'll probably be a $2 million program. Last year it was 106 donations all across the country. So it's in the backyard of so many people. But like $5,000 here, $10,000 here, $50,000 here goes so far for a local trail and park system or building a local bike park, an urban playground. So it's anything from like, a really urban type thing to like really backwoods, like Yosemite facelift type stuff. And but $1 million now, $2 million a year. And this like every year, this program's gonna have a huge impact on just outdoor access for generations to come. And then we donate another 1% of sales to our community impact program. And that shows up in a lot of ways. It's opportunities for underrepresented people, scholarships, brewing scholarships, empowering women in the brewing industry, but also fighting cancer. We release a beer every year called Closer by the Mile, which is a partnership with the Pan Mass Challenge for Dana-Farber Cancer, fighting food insecurity in urban areas. And so a lot of great positive community impact. So trying to put some of the profits of the company back into the communities.
That's awesome. So I saw on one of your social media platforms, the world belongs to the energetic. I'll say it again, the world belongs to the energetic. Tell us what that quote means to you when you hear that.
I mean, in general, I try to think about positive sum games. I think anyone who's building a business or a life around zero sum churn type games, it's got a natural ceiling. If positive sum games where you're building a category, lifting a rising tide, I think is a way I like to just approach life. But like kind of doubled up with that is, every single day, every one of us has a chance to either walk into our life with a rain cloud over our head and like negatively impact 10 to 20 people, or we could just like smile, say hello first, ask people what they're going through. Hey, can I help on an idea? Are you stuck on anything? Gabby Reese has a great motto, going first, that I love, and that's really stuck with me over the years.
Awesome.
But
That's awesome.
I say hi to every single person I pass while I jog. But that's like directly from her. And I'm like, that's a great
Yeah.
idea.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, the last question would just be, what would the bill of today say to that bill that was on Wall Street, grinding it out, dinners every night? Like, what would you say to him?
Yeah. So at that point, like, I hadn't had my one idea yet. I sadly, at any point, would have probably hit fast forward for 5 years to get closer to a retirement finish line that,
Yeah.
I was like working for the future and not working for today. And I was also kind of working for myself. There was no chance I was going to have a positive impact on anyone. And I'm just really thankful I had this idea because, like, it is all about the journey and you got to enjoy every day, those moments with family. I've got a 18-month-old son, but I try to never be on my phone around him because like that 1 minute interaction where I'm doing an innocuous email or text might have been the biggest moment of his day, and like I won't ever get that back. And so really trying to live the whole journey along the way, and that's the biggest change for my life for sure.
Awesome. Well, Bill, I appreciate the time today. Appreciate the friendship. Love what you're doing, and just let me know next time you need a taste tester. I'm ready.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm such big fans of what you and Tom have built, and I love the community. The newsletter is one of my only must-read things every week, so I absolutely love it.